anyone's listening there and you think you've got a problem with milkshake syrup,
yeah, there's
a few numbers to call.
There is special helplines.
Or just fucking help yourself. Don't complain to me.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh, yeah. I'm back.
Episode 8. Tokyo Surprise. With Ben and Morgan.
Oh, yeah. We're back, Ben.
You're back from Japanistan, as I said.
Japanistan.
Yeah.
That seems unfair. Japanistan makes it sound like a former Soviet bloc country.
Japanova?
It's kind of the opposite of that. Been democratic for ages.
You enjoyed Japan?
I enjoyed Japan far more than New Zealand, as it turns out.
Are we pretending now, or are we actually podcasting?
I think we've started.
Okay.
We've started. Ben asks whether we're pretending or not because we're on camera.
Yes, being filmed by the fine cameraman from Media 7. For your opinion on social media, I understand.
Yeah, apparently I'm a social media douchebag now.
That's brilliant.
I like being a regular douchebag. Social media asshole.
I see.
You don't need the cans.
We have someone else in the room.
We have got someone else in the room.
Who is he?
We've got Jose Barbosa in the room. All around good dude, Media 7 reporter extraordinaire, and also a prolific blogger. On saveloy.wordpress.com.
Thank you for talking me out. That was wonderful. I appreciate it. Lovely to be here, gentlemen.
Handsome and well-dressed.
So Jose's here.
Better glasses than I wear by that much.
Yeah, someone of Jose's calibre wouldn't have come on the show, but he's here as a quid pro quo for your interview. So we're lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just always happy to help dudes out.
We wouldn't actually.
I was where you guys were now.
Never.
Years ago, you know.
Never. No, because didn't you start on a real radio station?
That's true, I did, actually.
Did you start? No,
this is like the basement.
Yeah. This is a very fine studio. You've got a two-lane bowling alley.
And we've got built-in bird noise, which we can't figure out how to turn it off.
That's the aviary. I mean, you've just got to open up the wall and let them out.
Yeah.
Open up some windows. You could probably get someone to clean all the shit, actually.
I've got a robot coming from Japan for that.
How many robots were there?
Lots, but mainly for washing your ass.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that was the only kind I ever saw.
But did you go to Akihabara?
No.
Oh, so you didn't go to the robot shop there or anything like that?
No, I have no interest in that stuff.
Oh, okay. That's where I'd go.
Maybe. Yeah, well, that's where you'd go, but I went to restaurants and museums and galleries.
I'm keen to hear about your restaurant episode, actually.
Oh, boy.
Have you been to Japan, Jose?
No, I'd love to go, because I hear it's a fantastic place full of strange things and Bill Murray. So
yeah,
it'll be good.
Yeah, it's better than New Zealand in almost every way.
I'm mostly into the robots and the anime, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The manga, so that would be... One day I'll get over there.
Yeah. I only saw one manga, and that was in the Circle K across from our hotel.
Right.
Where we got beer. Yeah. Cheap beer available everywhere.
So do they have a binge drinking culture then?
Absolutely. Is it a problem? Absolutely not.
What's the difference?
Are there any ninnies? No, there's not. I think one of the differences is that the Shinto gods enjoy drinking sake. That's one difference.
Mm.
Other differences? I don't know. Just not being judgmental of other people so much.
You don't think it's the remaining kind of control of a very... I'm trying to think of the right word. Their society was, and it still is, very, very regimented.
Regimented by etiquette.
Yes.
And I think our society could do with some of that. More kind of enforced sort of patience, but very very impatient if people who know the rules don't obey the rules. So foreigners can basically get away with almost anything.
Okay.
But locals or people who look like locals really need to know their stuff.
How deep to bow and that sort of stuff.
There wasn't really a lot of bowing, but... queuing... Ticket machines, how to walk on the footpath, not get in the way of bicycles, all of that stuff.
Because my opinion of Japan is set from my sister, who spent time there probably 20 years ago now, I'm trying to think. And she had a strong impact of that etiquette and that culture and how deep to bow and how to hand your business card over. And despite the fact she was effectively fluent in Japanese, she had to basically say, no, I barely speak Japanese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's different levels of fluency.
I was talking to an Italian fella last night, and he was about the drinking culture. He was saying if you haven't got a drink in your hand in Italy, you're considered strange. So from a very young age, you've got to have a drink. Why haven't you got a drink? But on the other side, it's what's the word? It's dishonourable to appear drunk.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's the same thing. So they kind of try and balance it out and learn a modicum of self-control.
No, not at all.
Well, they're crazy.
There's also the thing of if you empty your glass, they refill it, right? And you're meant to leave your glass slightly full if you're finished.
No. Oh. I never saw that.
Okay.
That might be true, but I never saw that.
Did you see kung fu?
Kung fu? That would be Chinese.
Did you see any...
Karate.
Karate?
No.
Did you see any karaoke?
Oh, I did some.
Awesome.
I awesomely busted that out. We went and hired a private room and had the translation for the lyrics is really bad. Quite distracting.
Was it as good as YouTube?
If what you're used to is... Rock Band, which is an incredibly sophisticated version of karaoke, basically, then it busts your flow and makes you think you suck. Where Rock Band makes you feel like a rock star. Legit karaoke is like, oh my God.
I like the videos, couple walking in a garden of some sort, some roses. They might be at a zoo, there's some tigers.
And there's a star filter on the camera.
Totally.
Yeah.
They're in some strange, saw? They were in some strange sort of Wild Western town. Yeah. It was obviously part of an amusement park or something. And they were just wandering around looking at each other's eyes.
Amusement parks is actually something else that Japan does really well. Not food in amusement parks, though. I went to Tokyo Disney.
What did they do for fast food?
Worst food I had in all of Japan. Someone was obsessed with the idea of getting a hot dog.
Yeah.
And so we went in search of hot dogs. Didn't find them, but we did find sausage on a stick. But instead of a stick, they'd used a bone. So actual animal bones stuck in the end of the crappiest sausage meat you ever tasted.
Nice.
Could have been. It was just rubbish. It was so bad. And everything else there was bad as well, actually. But Space Mountain's fun.
Yeah.
And their rides, some of their rides actually suck. The new Monsters, Inc. one, rubbish.
Do they sort of franchise that around the Disneys, do they?
So I think that they're all identical. I haven't been to other Disneys. People who'd been to other Disneylands said that it was really identical.
Wow.
Yeah. I interviewed a dude who designs theme park attractions for a living. He sort of does that audiovisual sort of 3D stuff on a screen and like a motion master type stuff.
Yeah.
It was amazing. They're doing stuff with scent now. So they've got big scent cannons. And he was saying he created a ride which is like flying over America, and he had to find a pine scent because they flew over a pine forest,
a donut scent, and some hot dog scent, and
gun blast scent, rotting stench of democracy scent, that sort of stuff. But I was like, that's so much more. That's way better than Kelly Tarleton's. Mm. Actually, no, it's not. That's not true.
Kelly Tarleton's
is real. Amazing.
That's cool.
So something they had was Star Tours, which is like that Motion Master sort of thing. And it was the first ride we went on because it was the ride with the shortest queue. And it was also really disappointing. I think those things are all the same. But a few days... And that's at Disney, who I think... they have a reputation for having really tight rides. I thought that they had that reputation, but maybe that's only from fanboys.
I had a gut feel that Disney might be a little bit like Rainbow's End, scaled up, where you have one or two must-do rides and the rest of it's kind of fillers.
Euro Disney was kind of, a couple of years ago, more than a couple of years ago. It was quite high quality. But Universal Studios I really enjoyed.
Wow.
I thought that was great. They had the Terminator 3D, which was pretty awesome because they had all the original actors from Terminator. And I went with my parents because I'm a loser. And so they've got all the 3D stuff flying.
You're a loser, or you say quite a few years ago, were you 14 or were you a loser?
I was both.
Right.
Quite clearly.
Okay.
But I just remember Dad ducking underneath the chair when the 3D stuff came flying out.
But look at you now.
I know.
You've come so far.
I know. My parents are really proud. Dad's still traumatised from Terminator 3D, but that's...
So he was ducking out away from the objects?
Yeah, which was pretty cool.
Wow, I saw someone linked to JB 3D, Justin Bieber 3D, and I don't know if it was serious.
Did you see he's had a haircut?
3D. Has he?
Yeah, all those they call them Bebians, the lesbians who look like Bieber, they're going to be gutted because they've got to shorten their hair to even more masculine proportions. He would have, your dad would have shit his pants if he'd taken a ride, which I can't even remember what it was called.
shoot the depths or something at the Tokyo Dome, because as well as you know, the hydraulically operated thing and moving around on tracks and having 3D glasses, which Star Tours didn't, it fired blasts of water
at you. Oh, God.
And breezes and also blue smoke.
So they call it 4D?
Yeah, they called it 4D.
Yeah, that's what they call it. They actually call it 4D. Oh, yeah, it's a stretch, I remember at Universal Studios, because you get on the little trams and they take you on a tour for all the sets. And it took us past the old Psycho house, Norman Bates' house, which is awesome. And apparently the guy reckoned when Jim Carrey was shooting that Dr. Seuss movie, The Grinch, he'd sneak away from set, put on a wig and a skirt, grab a knife from catering, hide inside the Norman Bates hotel house, and when a tour came past, he'd jump out screaming hardcore and start running towards the tram. I went back and asked the guy if that was true, and he swore that was absolutely true. Wow. But I don't know, I thought it was pretty funny.
Add to the ambience
and the mystique of Jim Carrey. I mean, if you look at some of the movies he's done, I mean, he was known for a long time for doing really goofy pull a face comedy. Yes.
Yeah,
and now he's doing pretty amazing stuff. I Love You, Philip Morris. Have you seen that?
No.
No?
That looks really good. Funny. I haven't seen that.
I might see it. So Philip Morris isn't the tobacco company?
Not as in the tobacco company.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but that's what I thought to begin with.
Yeah.
No, he's a gay dude, an inveterate, unreformable, I think, is he a con man or something? He's in and out of prison and then meets the love of his life.
He's an interesting beast, Jim Carrey. I remember seeing the making of The Cable Guy, which is one of my favourite movies of his that he's ever made. I actually think it's quite good. And there's some handycam footage of them shooting rehearsals, which is quite weird that they're doing rehearsals, but anyway. And then he sort of pulls a big face and does a big Jim Carrey thing, and everybody laughs and goes, that's great, Jim, that's really great. He sort of turns to the camera and goes, that's right, less is more. And then he's just got this really sad eyes at the camera, like he sort of just realised that this is what he's going to be doing for the next 25 years.
Yeah. Wow. Pulling up rubbery faces.
Jumping around like a lunatic.
But then he did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotted Mind. And so he escaped from that, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he was great in that film. Star power
to force his way out of, the comedy black hole.
Yeah, he was really good in that film. I thought that was a pretty choice film.
Yeah, I think he's one of those people who maybe isn't recognised as a good actor until, after they've been demonstrating it for years. Yeah.
Like someone was, Mark Kermode, famous BBC film reviewer, says that of Adam Sandler, that there's a good actor under there somewhere.
Yeah. Have you seen Funny People?
No.
Right.
Is it?
It's really good.
Really?
Yeah, really good. He plays a comedian, but he plays a comedian who is dying and decides to stop being funny on stage and just fuck with his audience and has a miserable life and tries to get back with his wife and his children. And No spoilers. No. Sorry, audience. No. But it came out ages ago, so shut your fucking
mouth. Sounds
holes.
Like a love fest.
I have to look it up.
Yeah, it's not... Well, it is funny because there are other... There's lots of other comedians involved. I think, like, Sarah Silverman's in there and all sorts of other people kind of as themselves.
Yeah.
And he is... so the conceit is that he is just, at the table with all these other comedians as, that caliber of
I think that was maybe the movie that he was talking about. That, but then apparently he came up with another stupid bloody water boy or whatever.
Because he can squirt them out to a year,
Dude's got to get paid.
Exactly.
But he must get paid a lot. Yes. Well, I suppose those movies don't make as much as your Brad Pitt movies.
They don't cost as much either.
Yeah, true. But you're right, he's churned them out.
And they're at them, they're all shot the same way. The cinematography is rubbish and cheap. And there's like maybe two sets and the rest is maybe a bit of location work. They're super cheap to make.
Yeah, I watched Grown Ups last night. Just, random thing to watch and bought them. And that was an Adam Sandler, Happy Gilmore Productions. And you're right. It was actually on location. It was probably... Yeah, there was the location, which was the lake house. And then they went to a water park. And I think that was it.
Yeah, it's like Jackie Chan movies shot in Australia or South Africa, They're just made in $2 and a pair in a dream, really.
And that's my favourite way of making movies, and it's the way we have to embrace and in some ways have embraced in New Zealand.
Do you think Mikey Havoc's the Jim Carrey of New Zealand radio?
What? was that, that was... Can we get an independent adjudication on how weak that was there, Jose?
No, that's pretty good, though. I've heard worse.
You've heard worse? Well, I've done worse. Well, to be fair, I've done worse.
You know, okay, so caveat, I don't know the guy from A Bar of Soap.
He's more like the Robin Williams.
Right.
And the fact that Robin Williams is pretty renowned for just pulling stuff out of his head.
Okay.
On the turn of a dime.
Robin Williams is renowned for stealing other comedians' material.
Really? Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that, really. Mm,
yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
There was like another, like the red light that tells comedians to get the hell off the stage. Apparently if that started blinking, it meant that Robin Williams had come into the house. Stop using your good material.
I didn't know that. Where did you get all this stuff?
I've heard this.
Oh, this is good stuff.
I don't have a citation. We'll have to find one or I'll
is
have to...
Is this pre-cocaine or post-cocaine?
During cocaine.
That's a good question. I guess, well, cocaine was Mork and Mindy, presumably.
Presumably.
All the way Popeye. Through the 90s.
He could have done Popeye without cocaine.
And probably right up until, now what was it called?
Patch Adams, he was on something.
Long Exposure? Sure. No, not...
Mrs. Doubtfire? Doubtless. Mrs. Doubtfire was definitely cocaine.
Well, he also stopped making comedies and started making really creepy thrillers, mm-hmm. right?
But to return back to your comparison, or to my comparison, rather, just discounting the fact that he's ripping everybody off, according to Morgan, Robin Williams is renowned for pulling stuff out of his head and ad-libbing.
Yeah.
Mike, on his best days, is the same level. I mean, I produce Mike for a while, and the preparation is at a minimum. He just comes in and whacks into it.
That's an amazing skill, and that's
amazing.
The scale of one to Paul Henry, where I would just be, to have someone yammering in your ear the whole time, saying, "Right, you now got to fill 2 minutes of air because we've got 2 minutes till the next ad break. Go for your life." I'd just keel over. I couldn't do it. So it's an amazing skill,
but it wouldn't be arable.
It's essentially you've just got to talk shit, and if your talking shit muscles are well primed and exercised and warmed up, and you've trained them to a certain point, you can do it. Right. I think in radio and BFM, you could just, if you needed to go away, you just play a song or something like that.
True,
but
true.
Mike could always pull gold out of nothing,
and
that's one of the things. And now that he's leaving BFM, which is a sad day, but I guess it had to come eventually.
I was interested because his resignation blog or whatever it is on BFM makes it pretty clear that he decided, but also that BFM is on the ropes, needs to find some more money.
Yeah,
and so obviously they were paying him, and him leaving means there's room for a volunteer student to fill the role.
Yeah,
which is perhaps, wouldn't you say, more appropriate for a student radio station? Aren't most people?
But will it make for good radio?
Has it?
It's this. I mean, if,
he's only he's only without after, having afternoon been, now, right?
Yeah, sorry.
He's only afternoons.
Yeah,
right?
He's drive.
Yeah, he was in a drive show.
Yeah,
not currently being at the station, but having been there for a while, and obviously not knowing exactly what the situation is because I haven't been up there and haven't talked to anybody about it. I suspect that it has been really difficult, just looking at what everybody else has going through. Yeah, yeah. And
ad spending's way down globally and all that sort of stuff. So they must be having, it must be hard for all radio stations.
One thought, Ben.
Mm.
Maybe we should put our hats in the ring.
Interesting. But no, it's like I say, going back, I don't know the guy. I actually like his shtick, but I've always been wondering that his amount of time as a paid presenter on BFM, it kind of doesn't sit well with me. I feel like it's BFM is always quite high rotation, multiple breakfast hosts every few years who would then go on to bigger and better things. You got Graham Hill, Marcus Lush,
but there are other people who've been in at BFM who've been there just as long as Mike.
Right.
You've got Troy Ferguson. Who else have you got? Well, Peter Ehrlich, although he went away and came back. Stinky Jim,
But exactly. are they in paid host positions, do you think? Or most of them volunteers?
I don't know for sure. I think maybe Troy was paid at one point. Yeah, I know he's working behind the scenes now, so he is. I don't know. When I was there, there's all these arguments. Obviously,
I think they carried on. I mean, a couple of my siblings worked there as well, and I think the same arguments were going on then. Like I say, 10 years ago.
Oh, God, your sister's got a good voice.
Because she produced Mike for a while as well, as far as I know. So I think the debates were happening then as well as to, should we pay a star to host, be a BFM host, or should it be students volunteering.
I mean, it's maybe you do need term limits. It's hard for people to stay really fresh with music, isn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe you do need to get the kids through. Yeah, just to keep it with the now,
or even the fact.
But you do need
experience.
You know, if it was a station, it was just for students going to university.
Yeah.
They'd just be playing. Shows how old I am, but they'd just be playing, you know, Blink-182 or stuff like that.
Hanson.
Hanson. You know what I'm, or whatever the equivalent is now. I don't know. Fucking, I don't know, Bieber or whatever.
Yeah.
That's if that was a true student for the student body. Mm. That's what they'd be playing, but it's not. It's actually it started off being a university station to inform the students to go, oh, hey, they're having an AGM of blah blah blah. Yeah.
It's still funded partly by the student union, though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's there's a buffer between it, like the board. The way it works is the board is kind of like a buffer between AUSA and BFM.
Right.
But really what it is, and what I think most people when they think of BFM is it's an alternative radio station where you don't hear, where you do hear the music that nobody else plays, and you do hear people talking shit, essentially, on, you know, and that's fine.
Yeah.
So like I say, if it was a, you know, for the students, they'd be listening to, I don't know, Good Charlotte. I don't know what people listen to, or the kids listen to, or the majority of kids listen to anyway.
Yeah, and I don't think we want them to listen to that shit, do we?
No, but the majority of them do. That's just the reality. Yeah. But yeah,
I mean, it is a commercial radio station that needs to stand on its feet, really, isn't it?
It needs to build
an audience. Yeah. It needs to maintain an audience.
Yeah.
Well, funded, sure, but funded by a pack of lunatics.
What are you saying?
Yeah. Mad people.
An elected pack of mad people.
Mad people. If you've got a quorum, you can do just about anything in there.
I remember. And they've done the quad? Student SRC, Student Representative Council, which is basically someone yelling into a mic in the quad, trying to get people's attention and passing motions.
Those are the days of coherent student politics, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Before voluntary membership.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a little bit sad that Mikey's
very sad
going, but you know, I'm sure what he said in the press release, or what the heck it was, or whatever they said on that letter on the website, that would be how it went down. I'm pretty sure of it. Without actually knowing, but my feeling is that
I wonder, Mike, if he'll be commercial radio.
I'd love to see more TV from him. But some of that stuff was great.
There was a real spike there, and why is he not on it anymore?
Oh, who knows? Now he's like switched from TVNZ to TV3 at one point, and then was there like a schism with Newsboy?
I don't know, and then, you know, it's different.
But now, you know, presumably gone. No prejudice, but who knows what's going on there.
Why? What happened?
This is, oh shit, this is all suppressed.
Bleep that out.
Gotcha, zing. Beatles about.
I'll just have to beep.
I can't believe you actually went to say it. You just spilt the whole beans.
I'll just throw in a sweeper, and then we'll just move on to the next thing.
You're listening to Discourse.
Do you know what else is redacted?
What else is redacted? WikiLeaks?
Yes.
That was an awesome segue, and I stood on it. I'm sorry.
That was great.
You know, it's fine. We'll carry on.
I still feel bad.
No. Do you know what else is redacted, Morgan?
What's that been?
1.6 gigabytes of stuff from WikiLeaks.
1.6 gigabytes. It's not very much if it's high definition video, and it's a great deal if it's SMS text messages.
It's cables, and I always wondered what cables were, but apparently there is a...
we have a message for your stop.
Yeah, exactly. There is a...
So it's delivered on streams of ticker tape, right?
No, but I didn't know this, but there's a global US secret network, SERPnet.
Wow, that must be really secure.
Yeah, you'd imagine so. But no, it's all...
SERPnet?
Is it? Secure something something.
Secure was even right there in the name.
We'll have to look it up.
And so you said,
but
WikiLeaks.
No, but the thing is, well, no, it's in apparently accessible by about 3 million end users, because if you count all the embassies, all the government staff, everything else, and it's interesting mechanics in the area, because the highest level goes up to quote unquote secret,
yeah,
which apparently is not secret at all.
I bet that's not true. Well, no, I bet it goes way higher than that.
Yeah, true. But the data is
Omega Black 5.
And I'm pretty sure secret just means government officials.
Right. Well, it's interesting. I mean, all the stuff I've seen this morning, when I briefly had a look at it, all the stuff from Guardian, who've done a great job, actually.
Yeah.
Some of their...
So Guardian posted a big database of the titles and tags.
Yeah, and the contents of a portion of it.
Yeah.
The stuff that they thought would have been most interesting. It seems just to be mostly about how the US wants to isolate Iran. Which pretty much anyone could tell you that's exactly what they want to do.
Yeah.
But it's pretty damn interesting. I think this is kind of like the new idea edition of WikiLeaks.
Because
they've got stuff you know, on the Guardian website, because they haven't obviously put everything on there yet, they've got, find out tomorrow, Rich Royal got done for being indecent or something like that. And something like that. So this
I know who. We've already spoken about him.
Big Ears.
What's his name? From Brunei, right?
No, this is a British royal, apparently.
A Brit.
In one of these WikiLeaks, cables.
If it's about Charles, let's not forget his text messages about, or was it voicemails, toe about sucking. Wanting to be a tampon in Camilla Parker Bowles.
Oh, sweet Lord.
Which is, I mean, that's...
yeah, it's true. You can't get much more dodgy than that. But the...
Because he wants to be inside her all the time.
All this stuff is kind of, you kind of know that anyway, but it's all put out.
Were the Saudis ever like officially going for Iran? Because that's what apparently was in one of the things. The Saudis.
I think it was the Saudis were trying to pressure or, I don't know, suggesting or just over dinner, maybe you should, you know. For the US to whack into Iran, but the US said, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
And I think the Saudis were going, you know, you have to do it, because if you leave it too long, they'll just be unstoppable and there'll be a huge amount of loss of life. I don't quite know what their argument was. But again, this is all stuff that you kind of know anyway, unless something amazing comes out. I'll be interested to see the New Zealand stuff once we actually get that up.
It's only spent about 3 hours. Program, and we know that they follow a different thread of Islam than
Iran.
I mean, they're not Arabs, they're Persians, right?
I saw someone tweet that.
I think they all feel quite separate from one another. There was, of course, the long Iran-Iraq war.
Yeah. Yes. The most interesting stuff is the sort of... it's almost like reporting, actually, some of the people in these embassies. Like the person writing in an embassy in Iran or somewhere or another Middle East country, writing about Iran and how Iran views the West. And you're just going, shit, Russell said this in an email earlier today in the various Media 7 emails that were running around before the show. He was saying, God, they're doing better reporting than the journalists.
Yeah, I saw it.
Because they were talking about Iran sees... the West, and they're absolutely obsessed with the US, but they also believe that the US is obsessed with them as well, which makes for a really interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
And it's just like, if we could hear this on the news,
yes,
maybe we'd understand things better. But, you know, that sort of stuff, that sort of deep insight.
Yeah, because
it's like Wellington.
It's not for you. It's
I think we give a shit about them.
No, yeah, exactly.
We do.
We'd like to have a place to get away for a quick weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember going to the Christmas celebrations in the Domain back when Dick Hubbard was mayor, and the Mutton Birds or someone were playing, and he comes out and goes, "Yeah, so Wellington, guess who can do arts better than you?" and stuff like that. I was just going, "This is awful! It's such an inferiority complex."
But,
you know?
I mean, you just have to look at the disproportionate funding that Wellington gets to understand why their arts scene is so strong.
Mm.
All of the arts funding basically stays there. Like 93% stays in Wellington.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not sure that's entirely true.
It's entirely true.
I don't think it's entirely true.
I got that information from Media 7.
Really?
Yeah, well, from a speaker on the panel.
Right.
Yeah.
My partner's worked in the sort of arts administration and arts sector down there, and I think should argue with you. I have no idea.
Mm.
I should ask former press secretary for the arts, associate minister of arts in Auckland, and see what she says.
Yes, you should.
Yeah.
Get her on Skype.
the WikiLeaks stuff, coming back to that, it's not for the ADHD in the house, because these cables, some of them are 5 pages long. And incredibly dense text, like you say, about the origins of the green protest movement. And there's one brilliant one about it's about 10 pages about a Dagestani wedding, and the protocol involved.
Dagestan,
yeah, yeah. Dagestan,
I think it turns out to be in Asia.
No, I think it's one of the former.
It's in the middle there.
The former Russian states, or maybe it is a Russian state.
Yeah.
And they're saying there is a bit of a power vacuum there now, and so the warlords are coming back in.
Did they wear a lot of black singlets? Was that weak? Gumboots? Yeah.
I got a following, sorry.
No, Fred Dagg.
Fred Dagestani. It was pretty poor.
I know.
But they're saying how on day it's a 3-day wedding. Day one, they have separate parties, the groom family and the bride's family. Then the groom goes to the bride's party, takes the bride and takes her back to his place.
Mm.
And then day two is the something like the groom's family has a party and the bride's family comes along to check them out, see if the family's cool. And then day three is the big party with everyone. And it was talking about, you know, one of the major warlords was, his son was getting married. And so the day before the 3-day wedding started, this diplomat went along and went to his house, which was a round pedestal on top of what looked like an airport, what do you call it? A watchtower. So a big tall, 40 foot tall tower with a house on top of it on the edge of the Caspian Sea. And then there was a big wharf with jet skis and everything else. And so, and also on the floor of that, one of the floors of the houses was a fish tank suspended above the Caspian Sea.
It sounds like a Bond dream movie. House, doesn't it?
Was he a member of the Thunderbirds or something?
I don't know. And they had a big party, and then they said, while completely trolleyed, they also went and rode jet skis.
Perfect.
And then, came back and continued the party. It sounded amazing.
I've only ever ridden jet skis while slightly inebriated.
Tanked on vodka.
But under strict instructions not to go too fast, close to the shore.
Yes. So we'll post that in the show notes because it's brilliant. You have to read about the Dagestani
one. I like the sound of that, and we'll also post exactly where that is.
Dagestan. Well, it must be on the Caspian Sea then, I guess, if this guy had a house in the Caspian Sea.
Well, I don't look at me. I was born after 1960. I got no idea.
I was going to ask, so you were born after 1960, so we're finding out more about...
Where were you born? Are you a real
more
New
about Media 7's Jose Barbosa.
I am a 1978.
Yeah.
So I'm a year of the horse.
And you were born in New Zealand. So where did you get your stage name from then?
Well, the first name, Jose,
comes
from Jose Lambert, who was one of the Europe's most highly thought of hypnotists.
So it wasn't Jose and the Pussycats?
No, it wasn't.
Right. Yeah, you make me heard horny that since I was Saturday morning.
God, thanks for bringing those memories back.
Jose and those fly pussycats.
Actually, I might have to stop.
He's traumatized.
No, Jose. Well, actually, Jose is a Portuguese name, and it actually should be pronounced Jose.
Oh, really?
Is that right?
But it's always been pronounced Jose because my mum's pretty Kiwi. She was Jose, so it's always been Jose.
Right.
So if I wanted to be proper about it, when I go to Portugal, when I visit Portugal, it's Jose.
Jose. Right.
Because when I googled you when we name dropped you the other week on episode 6 or something. I found someone called Jose or Jizia Barbosa, who is some kind of minister, like a religious minister.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Quite.
It's not your alter
ego. Maybe also like a poet or something.
I think I'm also a plastic artist in the north of Portugal as well.
Oh, congratulations! I have Googled myself. Sure, you're really good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the Barbosa.
I make a living, you know.
Barbosa is the other part of your stage name.
Yeah, that's just a family. Sorry, that's my phone. That's a family name.
But it's all right because your phone was directly next to the mic.
Yeah.
But what?
I like
sorry.
To leave everything next to the mic so you can sample it. Can I text? Excellent. Is that going to be?
Yeah,
rude
we're
going to
get
text?
We're going to get some great key press noises. This is about Wellington arts funding, is it?
No, this is about going to work tomorrow.
Oh. Will you or will you not?
Yeah. Oh. I'll just say I'm undecided at this point.
But you've got some great material tonight.
Oh, boy.
With this amazing social media asshole.
You've really opened up my eyes. I think I've got about 3 or 4 different angles to go on now. And it's going to be hard to choose which one, actually, to follow.
Like I say, I don't know where I'm going to go, because I'm meant to talk about social media on Media 7 on Wednesday night. And
You said something good just before.
That it's fucking just people.
It's just people.
Well, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I remember I interviewed Shelley Bernstein, who this was at Webstock earlier this year, who works for the Brooklyn Museum. Is it the Brooklyn Museum? Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
she was
Brooklyn Museum, and she takes care. And Brooklyn Museum has been the way they use social media and Flickr and all this stuff to get the community is out of this world.
Please take photos. Please post them on Twitter, and you know,
in a sense,
which is the first thing you should do if you're interested in getting your institution you know, using your social media with your institution, you should always be take photos, touch stuff, you know, don't take it out, but you know, take photos and stuff. She was saying, look, it's not, it's no, there's no great mystery to it. It's it's just, it's like you always have done. You just use it to put yourself out there. And you've, you know, there's certain things, you know, definitely using Twitter, you kind of want to be seen as sincere.
Yeah.
No fakery involved, no, no buying automation. Followers. Yeah, no automation, that sort of stuff. But there really isn't any great mystery to it, which I thought was quite a breath of fresh air.
So maybe, so, so that's why, I guess, why the whole social media guru thing feels so wrong.
Because it's just marketing.
Yeah.
They're just
yeah.
marketing experts, I say, with air quotes.
And
I
mean, and the horrible, the dirty secret of marketing, of advertising, is that, I mean, we see with metrics on the internet now, the response rates are really low.
Yes.
The secret is they've always been low. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Now you can just measure it. Now you can target.
That's my thing. Is I think I had a brain fart moment when I was reasonably young. My brother had just started doing a marketing degree. And I was sitting there just vegging out, and this ad came on for Mitre 10 saying how great the cheap price on ladders was.
Yeah.
And who the fuck buys a ladder because they see it on TV?
Well, it's interesting. I know what you mean, though.
Yeah.
A friend of mine owns, his father owns a store selling ride-on lawnmowers in Rotorua.
Mm.
Years ago, you might remember there was an Instant Kiwi ad with a guy who had won an Instant Kiwi.
Yeah, mowing the middle of his driveway.
That was a Husqvarna, one of those orange lawnmowers. The sales after that ad went on air, his sales went up 200%.
How fast was that thing? Do you think?
you would have got, like, I don't know, 800 miles to the gallon, probably. Something like that.
800 miles to the gallon, but could it have done 100 k's an hour?
For about 2 minutes.
If you dropped it off a cliff, or if you towed it behind
nippy,
something.
Those ones.
Yeah. I ask because we're making a little call back to previous episodes for our long-time fan.
How's he doing?
I think he actually stopped listening last week. It was too short.
Oh, man.
Lost his attention.
Yes.
Sorry.
Fan. Come back. Do you have any stories, Morgan? You've been in Japan.
That was a comfortable silence. I was enjoying it. Can we just say...
It was nice, actually.
When you're picking angles...
Oh.
When you're picking angles...
Sorry, I dropped my phone on my balls.
And when you... Oh, are you all right?
No. It's okay, I'll shoulder
I can get you some frozen peas.
No, no thanks.
And then you'll have green penis in your lap.
Maybe, yeah. Zing.
Where was I going? Oh, what I was saying was... Please be kind in editing. Because I need to be edited.
You were great. You were fine. Everybody listening, Morgan was erudite. He was straight to the point.
Everybody listening.
He was wearing a jacket.
Let's double the audience of Media 7. If half of you go and watch,
they'll think there's something wrong with the people meter.
Whoa. Everyone will think we've sold out if you get too many people watching.
Yes, I've got a story. I'm sure I've got a story. Oh, Hobbit Hopeful. Now, did you hear this story? Naz Humphreys, she's 5 feet tall, so she really deserves a break. You can probably understand this, Jose.
No, I feel
you're not tall.
It. Yeah.
Did you order?
But you're handsome.
I did. Not for the Hobbit, for the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, okay.
Didn't get anywhere. Yeah, it was really. We drove
down. You would have been so young.
Yeah, I was in university. We heard on the radio. There were auditions for Lord of the Rings, but in Palmerston North. So we grabbed a whole bunch of us because we're young Turks and we love that stuff. We drove down.
Road tripped
it down, auditioned. They put a mask on me. I got to wave around a sword. They said, you're great. You're actually the exact body type that we need, which I didn't take to be particularly flattering. Sort of dumpy, you know, squat, no legs.
They wanted
speak
you to
of.
Be an elf, right?
No, actually. A orc or a goblin or something. But I never got the call back, was the end of the story.
I was stunk. Well, this road trip, if you were going to take it again, would have been to Hamilton. And you would have been in there
That's where I'd stop right there.
With 700 people. But if you were... Now, she is British Pakistani, is that right? Well, maybe she's a New Zealander now, I'm not sure.
No, she's here on holiday, I thought.
Holiday?
A working holiday.
Oh, fuck her then.
Yeah.
Fuck her.
British Pakistani on a working holiday.
Just spend your money and shut up. A working holiday, so she's allowed to pay tax. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a different matter. So she goes along and she wants to be whatever. an elf, or a dwarf, or a hobbit. No, she wants to be a hobbit. And that's the problem. They said, sorry, because of your Pakistani heritage, your skin is too brown.
And they wanted homogenous hobbits.
Homogenous hobbits. And I don't really see a problem with that. The books are meant to reflect the pre-war Little England, which was a homogenous society. That's what the hobbits are, yeah? And the coming storm, all of the evil, is the wars, World War II, yeah?
Is it? I've got no idea. I'm not a popular fiction.
I don't know. Is there a description of the hobbit's skin? Where it clearly says...
In that article they quoted...
They're Caucasian honkies?
Article they quoted, and they said that the hobbits from somewhere or other were darker skinned and the ones from the Shire were lighter skinned.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think it's... I sort of agree with you, Morgan, but I also think, come on, you know.
Christ. Let her in. But this isn't...
Yeah, everybody get in there, you know. Come on,
isn't racism, right? No. I think that if someone... when you're casting someone, you have to be able to choose people that look the way you want.
It'd be like you and me and Jose going along to pastors, elves, quite frankly.
Absolutely. I think I'd be great for it. They'd just have to stretch you a little bit.
How come they're only fat elves?
I am disgusted by that. We need a fat relations conciliator to come into bat for us. All wheezy and sweaty. Yeah. You gotta let these guys have a go. I don't think that being a fat ass is protected.
No, it's not. It's one of the last bastions of...
And quite right, because being fat is unacceptable. And I say this as a fat person who's never walked past a sandwich without having a quick nibble.
A big sandwich.
It was big before I got there. Now it's just the crusts.
But realistically, I use that term loosely, surely there must be a fat elf somewhere. You'd think, wouldn't you?
Maybe if you were near immortal, you'd just be, you wouldn't care, would you?
Given that, they don't eat much.
TV.
If some Lembas bread is enough, you know, one little nibble, a few grains is enough to last a couple of days of travel.
Then you'd eat a loaf every day.
Like a hobbit.
That's a lot of carbs, though.
And actually, hobbits should be fat because they have a lot of meals.
Yeah, second breakfast.
I don't think they should be thin. I think they should definitely be dumpy. Yeah. And there were dumpy ones. There was that big dumpy one with the cheek waddles driving his cart, right? I'm sure he had cheek waddles.
We saw one of the hobbits. Hobbits. You know when Gandalf turns up to the Shire of Hobbiton in the first film? And there's that old hobbit that sort of looks at him over the fence and goes, get out of here.
Mm.
We actually saw that guy. We were driving to Onehunga, and he was crossing the road. He looked at us because we passed him and did the same look. It was amazing.
Anyway, do you think he just busted that all the time?
Sorry?
Do you think he busted that all the time?
I think so.
Just in case someone's looking.
Yeah.
Like every time he's gardening.
I say if you do something really well, do it more than once and do it, you know. 100%.
And I think that's one of the secrets for social media. Just another little callback there.
Mm.
Do it really well. Do it as hard as you can. And do it consistently.
Do it long.
And don't expect a single success to ever be repeated, though.
No. Some of the biggest viral successes are completely, utterly unexpected, unplanned. Yes.
Has there been a successful viral video or... social media phenomenon that has been completely planned?
Yes.
Oh, you think there have been
Paranormal Activity 2 or something that which was on
Chat Roulette. That was good.
I don't know how many tickets they sold thanks to it, but I mean I saw it and that was a planned viral.
Yeah.
And that worked. They worked the shit out of that. That was amazing.
So Chat Roulette's still going, is it? I just buy porno mags now.
Philosophy correspondent Ryan Sproul did cooking lessons on Chat Roulette.
Did he?
Yeah, which I thought was quite well done.
Awesome, that's awesome.
Well, the improv piano guy on Chat Roulette was probably the best. Have you seen that?
That guy's incredible.
Yeah.
If I was in any position, I would have given him his own show.
Yeah.
Anything. I was have you seen that one, Morgan?
Merton. Yeah.
Can I go to your fridge and get an alcohol?
Yeah, bottom shelf.
Does anybody else want one?
Bottom shelf is where the cold stuff is.
I'm good, I've had two actually.
All right, so chatroulette.com says, welcome, rule, stay fully clothed.
That's, yeah.
So what's the point of that? I suggest if you want pornography And you want to see, like, dudes beating off? Probably you can find that on the Hun.
I imagine so.
Don't go to chat roulette.
Or any one of the
tubes. And don't irate people who just wanted to, you know, chat to people from Israel or wherever. Germany.
Yes.
Comfortable silence. I like it because I coded.
So I was reading about this welfare reform. What are they, working group?
I don't know what you're talking about. Is this something that happened while I was away?
No, I think it started just before you anyway, but no, as part of the catching up with Australia fetish.
Yeah.
They want.
That's not who we need to catch up with.
No, the government has put together a welfare reform group to say, how can we reform welfare,
yeah,
to improve it?
Yeah.
Obviously to pay, I guess,
I think cut healthcare, so they get really sick and die.
Yeah.
All the bennies.
Stop them reproducing.
That's good reform.
So among the tips were sending DPB mothers back to work when their children have reached a certain age.
3 weeks,
isn't it? Well, this is the thing. Is six a weeks? Certain age. I thought, well, maybe when the kids are all at school and maybe they do have a bit of spare time.
Well, how long does that currently run for? There must be a limit at the moment.
6 years, I think.
6 years?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like... Well, that does seem like the school
limit, so, but one of the proposals was 1 year.
That's fairly short.
No, I don't think... Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to get into my head.
Yeah,
it's how crazy. Is a mother meant to go back to work when the child's 1 year old?
And it's not like the DPB has a great deal of money.
No.
So that's tough.
And I'm sure there's just babysitters floating around. You can pick them out of trees
and they cost you nothing. Yeah. Everyone I know who's a working mother generally spends probably 75% to 100% of her income on childcare.
Mm.
Right.
And this all came out during Pike River, didn't it?
Yeah, bury the news.
I was trying to work out, whether they did it deliberately. Apparently, I think I did find some sort of mention that it was supposed to be out before December.
Right.
But it's fortuitous.
I mean, you would have been, PR people would have been piling on the news during that, wouldn't they?
So what happened with Pike?
An explosion last Friday.
Yeah.
Friday, a week ago. Methane build up, an explosion. And 29 guys
in a mine.
In the mine, yeah.
I think that happens quite a lot, doesn't it?
Well, you hear about explosions in mines. There's been big ones over the years around the world, all sort of 10 plus, 20 plus people. The latest thing they're talking about is, I mean, none of us are miners, none of us know what's going on, but that there must have been a quick intrusion of methane because they have gear to alert them, like canaries, basically, electronic canaries to say, get out of the mine.
I think SPCA should say something about that.
Yes. Horrific, horrific.
Do electronic canaries dream of electric birdseed? Don't like my references. I still don't have any stories.
Electronic canaries.
Yeah,
I'm sort
it's
of
cool. It's cool.
Ignoring all the horror that's gone on, I'm fascinated by the task of putting that fire out. And
there was a fire.
There is a fire now, apparently. The fire's
what kind of mine is? Is it a coal mine?
Yeah.
Oh, they're never going to put it out.
Well, no, they've brought in a jet engine that blows carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
And they can fill the mine with carbon dioxide.
Is that going to be enough? Because there are international underground coal mine fires which have been burning for decades after, numerous...
Well, it's a new mine, so it's not...
Yeah.
As big as those mines, as far as I can tell.
Mm. And this gag machine has been used to put out coal seam fires, apparently.
Right, okay.
But I mean, there have been other disasters like this in similar mines, and they've just had to seal it up and, have a plaque and a ceremony and just leave it.
Yeah.
Because that's just too much. But that's, that mine is, a real boon to the economy and...
This is interesting, because you do hear the undertones of that, the way that... I mean, I saw the picture of...
How many lives is it worth paying to recover those bodies? What you'll do with those bodies, you'll take them out of the ground to put them in the ground.
What's cynically as well, cynically and horrifically, is that there has been undertones. They're talking about the fact that the mine is still worth $4 billion.
Right.
And the pictures show that basically the amount that they've excavated, if that was the size of a postcard, a planned excavation is the size of a poster. Yeah. So they haven't even touched the coal seam.
And there's already...
I don't think the story is helping out the families or getting the bodies out.
That sounds like a very small mine. Plus about A0?
Plus they've pre-sold all that coal
A1
as well.
Poster? Yes.
To China? Yes.
Yeah.
So cynically, they will get the bodies out for the families, but they'll also get the bodies out so they can continue to mine the coal seam.
Coal is pretty handy stuff to have around. So, I mean, I say leave it in the ground.
How else are you going to charge your electric cars?
How is the value of coal going to go down? When I'm doing my blackface
routine, that's quite handy.
Yeah?
For the makeup.
Oh, mammy. So,
yeah. Edit that out.
Yeah, that's offensive. Don't. You know what's not offensive, though?
What's not offensive?
Naked girls in mud baths.
Even if
they're teenagers.
I think especially if they're teenagers.
Especially if they're teenagers, depending on the nature of teen.
They must have signed a waiver before joining Top Model, surely.
Well, can a 16-year-old sign a contract?
I don't know.
No.
Ed, how?
No, they would have to have a guardian. Surely, to be on the TV show, they would have a guardian sign a waiver.
You'd think
them.
So.
The complaint was waived away, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said, no, it's not offensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was tastefully done. Non-sexual poses.
Interesting, I've just been reading Lost Girls, which is a comic book by Alan Moore and Melinda Gibley.
I've been to the Gibley Museum.
Ooh! What's that?
Who's Gibley?
Studio Gibley. They make movies like Howl's Moving Castle.
Oh, right,
Spirited
right.
Spirited Away.
Oh, great. Oh, cool.
Yeah, not unrelated, though.
So what?
Sorry, we're just word association football. It's all I'm capable of at the moment.
Right now, Morgan's actually hanging upside down. It's the only way to keep blood going to his head. It's working. Like you're so coherent. It's like wonderful.
I'm hoping to get the penis to body ratio of a bat if I keep hanging upside down like this. Although, I mean, is my face, it feels warm.
It's your body, man. Like a turnip? Do with it what you will.
Do I look like a turnip in my face?
It's a bit pink, yeah.
Yeah. If I start to stroke out, could you cut me down?
It's almost bursting for that sock. I knew you shouldn't have kept that on. Like I say, we're all dudes here, you know. It's all good.
Now, what was it? It was who and someone Ghibli?
Alan Moore.
Alan Moore, yes, Lost
and
Girls.
And his partner, Lost Girls, which is essentially a beautiful book about Dorothy from Wizard of Oz.
Dorothy Gale.
Dorothy Gale, that's right. And Wendy Darling from Peter Pan and Alice in Wonderland. Or Alice from Alice in Wonderland, all meeting up as slightly older woman and going essentially on mad, sexy rampages. It's essentially, they set out to make an actual valid piece of pornography.
Mm.
So obviously, when this came out in 2006, there was a lot of controversy because it does actually depict pubescent children and or early teenagers in forms of sort of sexual rampage, I guess you could say.
Mm.
So it's kind of interesting because Moore sort of defended it by saying, "I was set out to make an actual, valid, beautiful pornography that does titillate." And he's also pushing the idea of it's just ideas. If it's just ideas, it doesn't hurt anyone, and only madmen and magistrates really care about that stuff anyway. So it's Sorry, it just reminded me of it.
So do you read many comics? Have you read Walking Dead at all?
Yeah, I love Walking Dead.
Have you watched any of the series?
Yeah, I've got it being sent over by
from
a relative.
From Amazon. On
at
DVD,
Amazon, yeah.
As soon as it's available.
I paid for it, yeah.
Yes, I pre-ordered it as well.
I think, Walking Dead, the comic book, I powered through in one night.
Yeah.
And it was up till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Bad writing. Right? Walking Dead, bad writing.
The dialogue's clunky.
Good scenarios.
The dialogue
is
clunky.
Nice art, but bad writing. Yeah, the dialogue was the problem.
Yeah. Strangely enough, Robert Kirkman, who wrote the last episode of the TV show, it was a really good episode. It was probably one of the best
episodes. Only watched the first two or three.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right.
I mean, I think I've only pre-ordered the first two or three on DVD.
Big satellite dish you've got does receive all sorts
of my
stations.
C-band satellite dish that says through the curvature of the earth.
Yeah,
it's wonderful. I get stuff bounced off the radiosphere.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That seems like a lot of trouble. You could just download it.
Yes, I could just download it. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? Pirate Bay founders, actually, they've just been refound. Still guilty, and their jail terms reduced and their fines increased. Lovely.
I mean, they are guilty, right?
They're
guilty.
They did build and run the Pirate Bay, but the Pirate Bay doesn't host any illegal content.
No, it just tracks trackers. Yeah. Searches trackers. I don't know. Just give me cheap freaking content.
So, I mean, treating me saying, you could murder someone with that knife, the same as murdering someone with a knife, I mean, those aren't the same thing, are they? And this is coming straight back to the, you know, is an idea dangerous or not?
Mm.
No, but it's more like if you had, you know, a room full of murderers.
And you gave them a knife?
And you gave them all knives, and then each person could pop in the door and you'd point them at the right murderer and say, off you go.
Yeah. And of course, no matter how many times you murdered that murderer, there would still be that murderer there.
Yeah, exactly. Infinite.
Unfortunately, this falls down
there's
a little bit.
There's no scarcity in murderers.
No scarcity.
No.
And it's not possible for me to legitimately watch that program in New Zealand yet. So what do I do? Exactly. I'm a fan. I'd pay a dollar.
I'd pay a dollar.
I wouldn't pay $5, but I'd pay a dollar.
Yeah.
Just let me do it.
Guaranteed with good sound, good quality.
Mm. And TVNZ could host it for free today. Mm. They could do it. They'd put their shitty pre-roll ads on, and away we'd go. Have you been on the TVNZ player lately? They've got this cool little feature, where you select which ad you want to watch in your pre-roll.
Oh, I heard about that.
They give you three options.
Wow.
And so you can choose the one which is like, well, I guess I might be interested in a car, and I'm definitely not interested in tampons.
Yeah.
So you say, show me the thing about the car, and it's better for the advertiser because you are more likely to watch an ad that you actually selected, and it's better for the user because you choose the ad which doesn't, you know, make you feel sick to your stomach because it's about meat, say.
Yeah, or finance.
Yeah. Or finance. Screw you, finance companies.
Yeah. Do you know what else is non-scarce?
What's that?
Oil.
Oil's not scarce.
Infinite available.
Sometimes I feel like the oil on my face is not scarce.
Yeah. Oil, apparently, according to a New York Times opinion piece, is effectively infinite.
Yeah.
Because we will both improve our consumption and also open up new oil fields. So there's no peak oil.
Is there an infinite number of oil fields available on the earth?
Compared to how much we're using, apparently.
Oh, is this the continuous creation? Like the Earth continues to produce
oil?
No,
it's just we haven't tapped it. You know, there's the Great Southern Basin. There's shale oil. There's Antarctica. God, you know, if we get
it's not like we're doing anything with Antarctica.
No, exactly.
Might as well smash the place up.
So when you draw these graphs and you basically say that there's infinite oil because as long as we, you know.
Well, I like the sound of that. It would be very convenient if there was infinite oil because as energy sources go, it's quite a good one.
Yeah. The truth of the matter is, of course, when you read the IEA report that this guy's referring to, the International Energy Agency.
What would they know?
Agency.
That sounds like a liberal mouthpiece.
They showed that.
Right on.
That peak conventional oil was hit back in 2006, and it's been production output has been dropping ever since.
But Ben, that's in the past.
Exactly, and the forecasts for these other oil fields are just fantastic. They're like a little bit more than flatlined.
I can't wait till we deplete all our oil reserves. It's going to be great.
It is going
to
be great.
We won't be able to go anywhere, so we'll just stick at home, which I like doing anyway. So sweet.
And in terms of
all the economy falling, crashing, and planes falling out of the air, great.
You can bake your own bread.
Great. Yeah, totally. I can work like an animal. You know, 23 hours a day.
Stockpiling
just to survive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess we still would have the wheel. I mean, now forgive me for a moment if we just rat hole for a second. I mean, so I see video often in news articles and so on of women walking the 15 kilometres it takes to go to the nearest water supply and then walking back with a big bucket on their head. Could these people learn wheelbarrow technology? Because they're sending like 8 or 12 or 30 women every single day this huge distance. One person probably could do the work of 5 or 10 of them.
How much does a wheelbarrow cost, though? What would it take for them to get a wheelbarrow?
That's Africans
to you,
are
Mr. Morgan.
Ingenious.
I put that to you.
Hey, Africans are ingenious.
Get those ones that
they're
bounce.
Builders. They're makers. Some of the amazing stuff.
They're good with mud, but...
They're good with mud, but they're also good with retasking bicycle parts.
Right.
Of course, it would be more efficient to, as you say... maybe let the West help contribute and get a Chinese factory to output some decent all-terrain wheelbarrows.
Maybe the record corporate profits in the USA could be a little bit diverted, perhaps.
No, that needs to go to bonuses, Ben.
Record corporate profits.
Daddy needs a new Benzo.
You read that, eh?
What's that, sir?
There's an article out recently that the corporate profits this year in the States have the highest they've ever been. Ever, ever, ever.
But I need another holiday home, Ben.
Actually,
fuck you and fuck all of those.
That's corporate profits. That's after bonuses. Where does that money go? Corporate profits. It goes, what?
Actually, there was a report last year that was saying bonuses to directors and, you know, members of boards and stuff like that in the States, the annual pay went up 80%, while the economy supposedly dipped 30%. Yeah. It's just, well, what the hell? What the hell? Come on.
Where it goes,
what's going
on?
What's happening?
What is going on? And how far do you go before the proletariat,
exactly,
the hoi polloi?
What's happening is people need shit and they need money to buy it with.
They do need shit and they do need money to buy it with. But at some point they realise, wait a minute, my toil, my sweat and labour is no longer respected. And this fuckhole who runs Excel, or not even that, has an assistant who runs Excel, is paid $25,000 of me. For what contribution is he making?
He's stamping the checks. You know, he's picking out the upholstery for the new chairs and reception.
Right, but is that difficult? Is that worth $25,000?
Have you picked out upholstery before?
Yes.
It's the American
dream. I don't believe you.
But coffee.
It is coffee. Did you pick out this because it's coffee coloured? Yep. We're on a couch here and it is actually coffee coloured.
Yep.
Is that so because you like drinking coffee on this?
This is the guest couch in Studio One.
This is something. I like the waterfall feature you put in.
Yeah, the whole wall, that's actually Oamaru slate.
Ah, I thought so.
It's nice.
That is very nice.
Because and that's Fiji water.
And are those flamingos?
We fly that in by air.
Yeah.
Individual bottles.
Oh, right. Yeah. I thought it was an aqueduct. But,
And we don't want it to get all stinky, so we empty it out every day. We just wash it out with ordinary Evian then.
We're planning to turn it into a chocolate fountain for our Christmas special.
Yeah, for Augustus?
Yeah.
We're gonna kill a small German child for our Christmas special. It's going to be great. I mean, technically, he's gonna kill himself by eating himself to death.
Right.
But he will have no choice. Yeah, we've invented genetic engineering technology, which will make him just really hungry.
That's amazing. Well, I tend to do that most Christmases to myself anyway.
Well, that's right.
Because you do go into a coma.
Yeah.
And then it just, my body seems to reconfigure itself.
Basically, this is just a turkey-powered methamphetamine. So unless if he doesn't eat the first bit of turkey, he'll be fine.
Right.
As soon as he eats that turkey, he's going to be away.
Yep.
Right, sounds like you've got quite a special show sorted out.
It's going to be amazing. We're probably not going to record it.
Dare I say it's a first?
I think it'll be a private show.
Yes. We'll charge entry. But that's interesting, though, about the eating yourself to death. There was a really cool Smithsonian article about the consequences of having evolved. And the first number one was hernias.
Right.
Because scrotal hernias, more specifically.
Scrotal hernias?
Groin hernias.
Well,
because...
So, like, your ball comes out through your sack?
No. I don't know if it's called a scrotal hernia, but your intestines come out.
Mine are going up.
Your intestines come out into your ball sack.
Yes. Exactly.
So it suddenly gets really big. So I've been hanging upside down for a week. Suddenly it seems to have worked, but actually it's my intestines.
Hanging upside down would do the opposite. Because the theory is, as four-legged mammals, you kind of your belly suspends your
it's an undercarriage
organs. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When you stand upright, your intestines actually are sitting above your pelvis.
Yeah.
You know, and other bits and pieces, and there are holes there for.
Women do complain about this stuff.
Yeah,
squashing on their bladder and so on.
Apparently, it's worse for men because you know there are ducts down there for your vas deferens and stuff to pass through.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you.
Vas deferens, one of the best features of 95BFM of all time.
Exactly.
Yes. Certainly was.
It was.
Fuck knuckle, cock and piss.
I can't do the voice.
To that memorable.
It was too good. But yeah, your intestine, small intestine, can.
We need to devolve right now.
Yeah,
if this is going to happen, quadrupedal. I'm not going to stand for this.
Get down on hands and knees.
It's not worth it, man. It's not fucking worth it.
The most interesting thing of that, though,
I do not want guts in my balls.
I don't want higher thought process.
It's never happened to me. I've never heard of it happen. I've heard of young babies having that sort of hernia. But the interesting,
awful. They wouldn't know what was going on.
No, they just scream.
Oh God!
So you might not even notice to begin with. You might just be like, "You're not like your dad."
Yeah, why are you screaming, baby?
Why are your balls so big? You're not going to be monogamous. Have you heard about that?
What?
Scrotum size is related to whether you're going to be monogamous or polygamous. Really? So, like, goats and bulls have like the huge sack.
Ah.
Yeah, it's because they're meant to
root
a great deal,
right?
And then you get, you know, some primates
right.
and probably swans and who knows what else, and we have much smaller balls.
I see.
So if anyone's ever very proud of having large balls in front of their wife, I don't think this is going to come up very often. Strangely, I don't think this is going to come up. But if it did come up...
I don't think women favour...
You could just point it out to the wife and she might have to...
To be fair, they're fairly gross-looking things, aren't they? Really?
There would be ads online for scrotal enlargement pills, which I haven't seen.
So, no.
You weight them down, can't you? So they appear longer, at least.
Oh, I've seen like those people who inject silicon into their bodies... Have you seen this? There was one gay dude
six-packs and stuff.
Who had like built his cock up into just this huge solid mound. It didn't look like a penis anymore, and his scrotum and his penis were just a big solid mass of kind of skin and tissue around the outside, but just full of this goop he had been injecting. Not saline, unfortunately. That he might have eventually reabsorbed. They put the same crap into their muscles, where their muscles would be if they hadn't filled them up with goop. We're vain creatures, humans. Yeah. We are pathetic.
The most interesting thing about that article, I thought, was hiccups. Though I didn't, you know, where do hiccups come from? Apparently, it's a remnant of gill breathing.
I don't have gills. What are you talking about?
No, gill, I think it was the crossover.
God never made me with gills.
It was a crossover of gill breathing and lung breathing. And when
you're not one of these
old earth people.
That's ridiculous, Ben. If it was true, it would have been in the Bible. Are we going into ground? We've trod pretty well already.
I'm trying to work it out. I'm trying to follow where you're going.
Where are we going? I remember seeing a... I remember when I was in Portugal once and sort of watching TV and watching satellite.
Never again.
And never again after that.
Too much travel.
Yeah. Too much travel, too much trouble.
Yeah.
Too much swarthy people.
Too much the language.
Too much port. Cork too much port. Gout.
What else did they do in there?
Did you get gout?
No, I didn't.
That'd be awesome.
Just joking. But I was watching a religious channel and they had some dude come on and explain to you why the story of Noah's Ark was true, because they took all the measurements of the ark,
a cubit and a furlong,
and built it and a model, and then tried to capsize it, and it didn't. As I went, oh, well, this proves that it's true.
That was one of my favorite pieces from a sketch show I used to watch. I can't remember what sketch show it was, but the guy Noah came in and said, here's the ark, I built it, and he was holding it was about the size of a shoe. and they said, what
was it off? That's
it,
yeah,
was it? I can't remember what it was. And he said, oh, it's 40 cubits by 30 cubits, it's fine. Well, how big's a cubit then? I don't know, about half a centimeter. Sorry,
That was true apparently, and
there's also apparently strata in some areas that you can see the flood, Noah's flood on,
yeah,
and some cliffs.
I'm just trying to find out how big an original cubit was.
Yeah. But the point was that they were so convincing. I was going, I was almost at the end going, yeah, I guess it was. And then I sort of looked at it, so well, fuck this.
Yeah,
but it
can be convincing. I like Creflo $1 personally, because Creflo Dollar preaches about the importance of making lots of money,
right?
And how it's God's plan that you should be prosperous, and that I obviously Creflo should be prosperous too. So giving you money,
it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to make it through the gates of heaven.
And that was debunked because
the needle is now allegedly a gate.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's debunking, and then there's making shit up to suit your purposes.
To suit you being a rich cock.
God wants me to be rich. All that humbleness and love and sharing.
Mm. Just don't eat figs, though.
That's just optional. God hates figs. Mm. So I've looked it up, and a cubit is between 44.5 and 52.3 centimetres. So not actually that big a boat.
40 cubits isn't very big, then, is it?
It's not that big.
For two every animal.
How many elephants can
I'm sensing fairy tale. That's what I'm sensing here. Sorry, just putting it out there.
Had you not heard the God hates figs thing?
No, what's the God hates figs thing?
That was one of the signs.
God hates the shit out of figs.
The rally for sanity. Guy had a sign saying God hates figs with a Bible reference, like, you know, John 3:16 or whatever on it.
Right, yeah.
And you didn't see
that sign.
And you read the passage, and the passage said that we've done this in the podcast before, but that Jesus was hungry and came up to a fig tree, and it's in two different gospels as well, according to Paul and Luke or whatever. So that was witnessed twice. Came up to a fig tree, and the fig wasn't in season. And so he said, may no one ever eat figs from you again.
Ooh.
It's in Mark. Okay. It's in Mark, but there were yeah. also other references.
Corroborations.
Yeah, it seemed either just very childish or very ridiculous.
It's brilliant.
On the part of Jesus.
Have you guys seen the Passion of the Christ?
No. I've seen the...
I've only seen it once.
I've seen the Yakety Sax version.
Yeah. I've seen it once, and I swear to God, there's a bit in it where it's insinuated that Jesus created tables.
Well, he's a carpenter, so of course.
Yeah, but there's kind of this thing like... You know, Joseph's trying to make a table or something, a bench, and Jesus sort of walks past and goes, oh, just give it four legs or something. I'm sure there is, but I can't be bothered going back to watch the fucking thing to actually find out whether I just made it up in my sort of opium dream or something.
That's funny, because what's his name? Mel Gibson?
He definitely created settees.
Yeah,
I'm sure of that.
And the tasty treat that is the sugar tit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was a carpenter in that one where he was an American Revolution guerrilla fighter guy, the Patriot.
Yeah.
He made a chair in that, so maybe he's just got a special connection with wood. Well,
Harrison Ford was a carpenter, so obviously he's the second coming of Jesus.
I would not believe it.
No.
Seems unlikely. He wears an earring for a starter.
Right.
So that's not really. Jesus wouldn't wear an earring. Cochrane, maybe. But
also, would he? I mean, he's got to get cracking on the whole, you know, saving mankind.
Actually, yeah,
does he come back to save mankind, or does he come back to crack off a 1,000-year war? I can never remember all of the details. He's getting a bit long in the tooth now.
There's definitely a 7-headed beast with 10 horns, which I still can't do the maths on.
I guess not every head has to have the same number of horns.
But is it like one head with 10 horns and another 6 heads that don't have any horns at all, which wouldn't be so scary?
Could be.
Look, God works in mysterious ways, Ben.
Yeah. Clearly, and if he didn't work in such mysterious ways, he wouldn't have taken away your gills and made you hiccup.
No, he wouldn't
So have. What other remnants of evolution are there?
Nipples.
Appendix.
Yeah, nipples on men.
But how is that? That's not evolutionary. That's just because we're mammals and we've got two sexes.
True. I have to read this.
I mean, why do women have two whole legs? Why have men still got ears? We don't need to listen.
Well, we usually don't. My wife is still good.
The whole thing about cellular or cells in general, because, you know, the first organism was single celled, so it's kind of like cells are battling and everything. Backaches.
Have you ever backaches?
Backaches, because, you know, the back is meant to be basically a suspension bridge for a four-legged thing, and standing upright makes it compressed.
That sounds right.
Choking. Again, because if you're walking on all fours, your trachea is above your esophagus.
Except cats choke.
Not as often as humans, I think.
I was wondering if it would be appropriate to make really disgusting...
No, don't even...
I'm not talking sexual, I'm talking like scary future serial killer. I don't think I want to use that material.
Goosebumps.
You say that for that miniseries you're
But goosebumps on. Work.
Not for... No, they don't make you warm.
But they push the hair up, and then you've got more little pockets for air to stick around your body, don't they?
They don't scare me when you get goosebumps, whereas if you had...
If I was a porcupine? If I had bristles?
Yeah, exactly, then it would be scary.
You're calling me bald.
Squeezed teeth as well.
Squeezed teeth.
Yeah. Yeah,
they look all right to me.
Our jaws are too small and our head's getting packed in. And
Shut the fuck up, my jaw's the right size for my head. My ridiculously oversized head.
And obesity, of course, is one of the worst ones.
I reckon,
50 years? How long? Terrible. 100 years, do you think we'll evolve out of obesity?
No.
Surely the Americans are working very hard to evolve basically insulin
production. This comes back to the whole elf thing. Well,
maybe they've evolved their insulin production to be, you know, completely different to...
Is that to do with insulin, obesity?
Well, I mean, blood sugar.
I thought it was just to do with not exercising enough and eating too much.
Exactly. So surely humans are going to evolve basically to the non-scarcity of food and sugar.
Oh, well, that's probably right, because, I mean, presumably, eventually...
So at the moment we're...
Except you can breed. You can still breed when you're fat. It's yeah, just. From the right angle. And if you get the woman to do all the work...
If you got a syringe... It's okay, I'm fat, I can make jokes like that.
I wouldn't say you were fat.
That's very kind of you, but I am, really. That's why I've got a beard.
Oh yeah? Have you got is it a neck beard?
It hides my five chins.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't have the thing where it just kind of goes...
Oh, goiter, no. Not yet, anyway. But there's a healthy chin there, at least. So I've had to hide that away. Fortunately, I'm not wearing muumuus yet.
Muumuus?
Yeah, those sort of big dresses.
Oh, right, the kaftan.
Kaftans, yeah. But yeah. Sort of not so, you know, sort of open kaftans, flowing okay. Kaftans.
Right, yeah.
Actually, they'd probably be really comfortable. I don't know what the problem is.
You know what the solution is? Look at Japan. I'm sorry, I'm going to use Japan as an example for so many things for ages.
Did you go to Japan or did you travel into the future?
They don't eat meat. Is that right?
They eat fucking tons of meat.
Why are they so thin?
I think it's because they don't drive so much. I think it's because they walk and they ride bicycles and they take public transport. And maybe it's because they have better portion control. But they have a great deal of meat. They have exquisite
portions, don't they, as well? That's the thing. You look at compare a roast meal to a decent Japanese meal.
Yeah.
Just incomparable in terms of the tastes and quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A decent one, yes, absolutely, no question. No yeah. question about that. Yeah, we had some pretty wonderful meals. If you look at something like gyoza, which is, you know, dumplings, minced pork in pastry, you wouldn't say that was a diet food.
With a lemony vinegar sauce.
Yeah, absolutely. Or something that I think of as Korean, but maybe it's not, like bibimbap, which is minced meat again, and rice and sauce and egg.
It's pretty bad.
And also, you wouldn't think of that as diet food. No. And the most favourite fish is very fatty fish.
Different
metabolism. Because they do metabolism eat a lot of rice, informed right? by a lot your
of,
lifestyle.
A lot of basic carbohydrate, which are we Westerners, for want of a better term, not used to. Simple sugars.
Yeah, well, we do have much more refined stuff. I think it's the refined food which is a problem. Mm. So peak oil probably is a good thing. If we can't operate the machines, then we won't have that. We'll have to walk.
We'll have to
walk miles every day to get fresh water. And we won't have white sugar. You know what else they've got in Japan that we don't have here?
Leslie Nielsen.
Fucking heaps of things. I wasn't thinking Leslie Nielsen. I think talking about Leslie Nielsen's a bummer. He was old. It was his time. They have lots of subways.
As in subway sandwich shops?
No, as in trains that run under the ground.
Oh, right.
That stuff's awesome. That's great.
Which is as proposed for Auckland City with the subway loop.
My biggest memory of subway was Paris subway, where you would hear...
The metro?
Yeah, you would hear violinists and accordion players and never find them. It was fantastic because there'd be interconnected tunnels and there'd be
a violinist. How did they make a living if you could never find them?
Local knowledge.
Find them once or twice, but yeah. Yeah, they'll be playing on one platform. Where regulars. You can hear them across the
but
other
the metro is fantastic, isn't it? Yeah, it's great. Just go anywhere you want.
We should do that in Auckland.
We should do that in Auckland, and we want to do that in Auckland. And probably, I would say it was pretty much funded until National, as we've previously discussed, smashed a regional petrol tax.
Although it does seem a little bit profligate, doesn't it? Just a little bit of underground rail from.
Got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
If you look,
but it's does cost a shitload to do that.
It costs a shitload, but then you learn how to do it.
Yeah.
And people start to use it. And if you look at the map over time,
Do they start to use it? Is it like some city where you put it in and no one uses it?
Yeah, I could never get them to use it. It's true, actually. Fuck.
But the thing is, if you look at the map of the Tokyo metro system, it dates back to like 1900 or something. Yeah, but there's only one or two lines. You know, you start with a line, and then 10 years later, you build another line, and then you finish a loop, and then you build, another long line out to a popular suburb or neighbouring town, and then you build another big loop, and then you link networks to one another. And you've got to start fucking somewhere.
Yeah, if they did Dominion Road and then Kendrick carried on out to the airport, I always thought that was a good
Dominion
idea.
Road. Dominion Road, maybe. Airport, hell yes.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's kind of natural.
We're talking the train.
If you're going to the airport, you might as well either do Dominion or Mount Eden Road on the way there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, yeah. Sure. And you've got to have a lot of terminals, I think. A lot of stations. And once you do that, and you've got to have a lot of trains as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we would wait maybe up to 5 minutes, but usually it was 1 minute or 2 minutes. And then a train would be there, and it would be going where we wanted. And away you'd go. And sometimes if you wanted to go to some distant part of Tokyo, you'd have to do a single transfer or even two transfers. But it was just so easy because there were a lot of trains.
Yeah.
You don't. If there's a lot of trains, you don't need to think. Yeah. You don't have to be like, okay, in 30 minutes, there's going to be a train there. And then every hour on the hour, there's a train there. Yeah. Which is what our current network is like. Our current light rail network is fucked because we haven't got enough goddamn carriages.
Yes.
If we had more smaller carriages... I think it would be a better system and people would use it more.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm totally into it. That report that was the Kiwi Rail Auckland Transport Agency report.
Yeah,
did seem slightly fanciful, though. Yeah. Like it was, they were clearly trying to put the best case forward, which of course they should. But
what did it say?
Well, it basically said this is going to solve every. Well, you know, the cost to the benefit ratio was amazing, that sort of thing. I think it's important. I mean, I was watching Portland is a city which has been, its CBD has been completely revived by having a good amount of trains, not underground trains, but you know, above ground trains. That's kind of because you've got to remember that businesses get attracted to the route. What I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's grown from there. And it can actually make a, if it's done right, should it can make a difference to a city.
Over time, it would completely change the shape of Auckland.
That's why I almost think they need to go away from the thing that people realize is wrong, which is that it will pay for itself.
Yeah.
And come at it from that other angle to say, we have to do this for either long-term reasons or...
And people say, well, maybe if we'd done it 100 years ago, we're going to say the same fucking thing in 100 years.
Exactly. Yeah.
At some point, we've just got to bite the bullet and start building a network. And the first one will be useful for, you know, a smaller area than the later network additions.
Yes.
We have to think of it as something that's going to happen over a long term.
Mm.
You're not going to build it at once. Yeah, we'll build a loop, and then we'll build a line, and then we'll build another line, and we'll connect lines. And then eventually we'll have a, maybe not for us, but for our children, we'll have a great network. And it will be electric, for fuck's sake. So we won't need to worry about peak oil. We'll just, you know, power it by whatever electricity is. Well, it doesn't need to be coal. There's a whole lot of ways of generating electricity.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I'm trying not to be defeatist here, but that's... Long-term thinking. Politics doesn't work around long-term thinking.
It doesn't. That's right.
Absolutely terrible. I mean, Queen Street could have been closed off to traffic and been a pedestrian wall years ago, decades ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
If, dare I say, certain pricks, not just in the council, but also in you know, business, the business community, didn't kick up a fuss.
Yep.
They just don't... It's... Yeah, man. Which is why we need a dictatorship.
Yeah, I think...
I would give up all my rights if we could have... Well, working public transport. I just shit all over me. It doesn't matter. Just give me some trains.
If you look at... I'm sorry, once again.
That's a joke.
Actually, in Hiroshima, there is... I mean, as well as, you know, the obvious memorials, amazing memorials, there are open-air pedestrian shopping malls that are amazing and included some of the best shops I saw in all of Japan. And there are these similar open-air... pedestrian-only shopping malls in Tokyo and Kyoto. No cars are allowed.
Right.
And they are wonderful. And there are people through them all day.
But isn't Botany Downs like
all
that?
All day. Yeah, but Botany Downs is might as well be in a different city. I mean, where is that?
Yeah. That's interesting, isn't it? Fiji? Well, they're getting there. I mean, Fort Street's being what do they call it? Calmed?
Yeah.
And they're going to do the same with...
Dropping it to 30 or something?
No. Removing the curbs, dropping the speed limit, all
it's
that sort of
mixed,
stuff.
Mixed
use.
Pedestrian and cars. I think that was a compromise. I think they probably wanted... The ideal situation would have been to actually close it down to traffic.
Yeah. Well, Elliot Street they should close, but they're going to calm that one as well.
Right.
There are a lot of lanes in Tokyo and Kyoto which are like that, where there is no footpath. Everyone uses the same surface. And it's mainly bicycles and pedestrians, but cars go down there as well. And they just don't drive like lunatics, which is a big problem for New Zealanders.
Yeah.
Because New Zealand drivers are so bad and so aggressive. Mm. And that's why cyclists probably don't really want to share the road with them.
This cycling thing is doing my head in at the moment.
There's been some wonderful editorials and columns.
That really does my head in. So the five innocent cyclists get killed.
Yeah. Right?
None of those five killed in the last couple of weeks were doing anything wrong at all. Yeah. Even then the motoring journalists come out and say, fucking cyclists are dying, they need more rules.
Yeah.
We need registration on bicycles they need to ride a meter away from cars. Have you measured an open car door recently? In a modern car, you open the door, it's probably about 1.5 to, you know, at least meters.
Yeah. So that means that you'd need to be driving in the middle of riding your bicycle in the middle of a lane, right?
Yeah.
Which I think is what you're allowed to do now.
Yes.
Under the current road rules.
And the road rules actually say...
If motorists would follow the current road rules, everything would be fine.
The motor rules would actually say if there's not room enough for you to safely ride on the left and be passed by a car, you may ride in the middle of the lane until clear of that obstruction.
Right.
And the cars have to
wait. That seems like a pretty clear rule.
Yeah.
I like that rule. As someone who's been knocked off several times by people opening car doors or people changing lanes into me or whatever, while riding legally and ordinarily, I say the problem is with the drivers.
The thing that fucks me off in the editorials, they all go to the same straw man, which is fucking cyclists in Lycra riding three wide.
Yeah.
When does that happen?
I've never
It happens
that.
Sundays on Tamaki Drive.
I've never done that. And they do that in a large group, which is highly visible.
Yes.
And should be the safest of all kinds of cycling. And yet...
Yeah. And it's breaking the law, yes, right? Riding three wide is apparently breaking the law.
Yeah.
But to me, it adds character to Tamaki Drive. It's actually a special thing on a sunny morning to see that happening. I think it's fantastic for the city.
What is the difference between two abreast and three abreast when you've got a group of 60 cyclists?
Yeah.
Well, the difference is that it's a shorter group.
Yes, and you hardly ever have them either.
So probably it actually provides... less of an obstacle.
Yes, and then there was the brilliant guy that said recreational cycling at all shouldn't be allowed because the roads are for use. So if you're commuting, that's okay.
For use? What use?
For getting places.
Right.
For cars. Just cars.
Definitely not for children.
No, not recreational cyclists. So by his token, if you're Sunday driving or perhaps driving to the gym, get the fuck off the road.
Right.
I guess in a perfect world, there would be separate... roadways for bicyclists, cyclists and motorists. That would just be the safest way to go, but we can't do that.
I think what we do is...
Last time I was on a bicycle was in 1978. 1989. So I don't...
1978, you would have been in utero?
One. I would have just popped out in a little bike. Maybe one of those... what were those big ones?
Big wheel?
Big wheel, no.
That's good bikes.
Penny farthing.
Penny farthing.
A little penny farthing.
Yeah,
I'm imagining you in a
nappy.
And tails and a bow tie. Yeah.
And a bowler hat.
Wingtips.
Yep.
Bowler hat? No, a top hat. It's got to be a top hat.
No, I think you're right. Top hat, yeah. Wouldn't have been good for mum, though.
Some of the
arguments people brought out. Oh, it's horrendous. It's ridiculous.
It's horrendous. I like Mike Hosking's one, though, which is basically...
I haven't read that yet.
He said, I've ridden 5,000 kilometres on my bicycle and haven't had an accident, so people just need to pay more attention.
Motorists need to pay more attention. Cyclists also need to pay more attention. It's definitely true.
Well, yeah,
you need to really be aware of yourself.
Absolutely.
I see cyclists riding along wearing an iPod.
Yeah.
You fucking lunatic.
So I went for a ride the other morning for the first time in about 5 years. Got my bike out finally and went for a ride down West Haven and back. And I rode up. So I rode down under the Harbour Bridge, back along.
Did you hear they had sandwiches there?
I was looking for a sandwich the whole time. And I rode up Albert Street at... probably 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And twice. Once is a bus pulled out on me, and the other time, you know, just stupidity. Like, so I was riding along, it was the atrium on Elliot car park entrance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was just about to cross that driveway, and a guy came racing up and pulled into the driveway.
Yeah.
He had to see me, everything else. And that was, why couldn't he wait?
The problem is aggressive
seconds.
New Zealand drivers, and it's nothing to do with cyclists.
Me.
And the problem is much bigger than cycling.
Yeah.
It's New Zealand drivers who treat the speed limit as the bottom limit, or certainly as a target, not as a ceiling, who have following distances of, you know, a car length.
Yeah.
Speeding.
And that car length following distance is room to
push it on an amber or even a red light, who will treat a stop sign like a giveway.
You're getting
There's a
places,
whole lot of ways that New Zealand drivers
doing,
drive
doing,
very
you're getting
badly.
Getting places and doing stuff, Morgan, is what they're doing.
It's well, they would
stuff.
Still get there.
They're the lifeblood of this economy, Morgan.
They would still get there.
They've got the drive that's going to take us
probably,
to Australia and beyond. Exactly.
Yeah, these really aggressive drivers, they're the lifeblood of the economy.
Yeah.
Yeah, some other countries seem to manage without the kind of driving that we do.
Yeah, we got pulled up by a cop the other day. We were breaking the law. We're turning right into you weren't allowed to turn right into this particular street. So we were totally breaking the law. That's cool. We're slightly annoyed because we've been doing it for weeks, but, you know. And he sort of pulls up and then asks us some questions, and we're like, oh, okay. Then he goes, I was with my partner, my girlfriend, and he sort of looks at us and goes, are you guys partners? And we were just like, what the hell?
What
point is
that?
Are you going to write that down on your little ticket, are you?
Was he your biographer?
Yeah, clearly. You know,
do you mind if
that's
I,
unauthorized.
It was from the US embassy. It was asked to spy on us.
Do you mind
obviously.
If I come home with you guys tonight?
Do you guys into threesomes and stuff?
Have you heard of a big sandwich? Yes, I have, and it's not what you think, officer.
Yeah. I look meaty to you. But we just sort of, you just want to get over and over. Yes, we are, whatever. But afterwards, we're like, what? Why would he ask us that? Strange.
Maybe he wanted to start hitting on you.
I think he was about to.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure, you know.
Cops
you know,
have a high sex drive.
That's right.
As the Rotorua experience has taught us. I mean, they have such a high sex drive that sometimes, you know, like bulls at a gate, they've got to go in five
rooters,
at a time.
Aren't they? They're mad rooters. Bad lieutenant, all that, all over again.
Yeah, and I think they're probably quite bad at it.
At routine?
Yep. Well, do you know what else is bad? Do you know what else is inappropriate? And do you know what else is awkward? Urban Dictionary Discourse Weekly Show, Word of the Week.
Oh, right.
Let's play the sting.
Urban Dictionary, Word of the Week.
I love it how you guys, obviously you're going to put the sting in later, but as soon as Morgan said, let's play the sting, both Ben and Morgan sort of waving their arms around.
We're listening to the sting.
To signify that the sting was being played.
And it was a good sting, wasn't it? I really liked the sound of that sting.
Yeah. In radio, we just count ourselves out.
Right.
And I love what you guys did.
What this do you do? Amazing. 2, 3, 4 and
then. We actually play the sting. Because we've got a sting back.
Yeah.
No, this is cool. I love what
we've
you
tried that
doing.
Before, but it just never sounded quite as good as dropping it in.
Yeah.
It's kind of like another generation of compression and so on, and it's.
Oh yeah, it's like a photocopy of a photocopy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we try and keep it clean and use the original material.
Oh, I love your attention to detail.
Yep, attention to detail in editing, but not in any of the other production of the show. Yeah. So,
what is the
word the word this week, Jose?
Yes.
Tokyo Surprise.
Oh, nice.
Tokyo Surprise.
Tokyo Surprise.
Ooh.
20 upvotes, 5 downvotes.
Tokyo Surprise.
So it's not a really popular one.
It's quite new. I'm thinking Lost in Translation.
Tokyo Surprise. Is it getting a hand job in a toilet from what you thought to be a female prostitute? Only to be revealed to be a male prostitute, when in fact you wanted a female prostitute.
That's an excellent guess, Ben.
I'm going to a lot of Asian porn. There's not such attention to shaving, manicure.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say it's when you expect.
You expect a bush and then it's shaved, or you expect a shave and it's a bush?
Vice versa, yeah. It's unexpected.
You expect a shaved rat.
Unexpected bush, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good, I like that.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I would say actually that Jose was probably just about the closest guess we've had since...
That's because most of the entries on Urban Dictionary are essentially that. It was, you know, I had a 50-50 chance.
Let me tell you the usage.
Accidental homophobia,
accidental homosexual encounter.
Right.
And all completely made up. Like,
surprise.
Hilariously made up. You knock out the woman and then have sex with her. It's like, you've never done that. That's not something you've done.
And then discover that she was a man.
Let me give you the definition from Urban Dictionary.
It's hard to knock someone out.
The somewhat disappointing realization one has shortly after fucking a hot Asian hooker in the ass for $3 that something is horribly wrong. It becomes obvious somewhat belatedly that although this is the hottest chick you've ever banged, a quick post-coital inspection reveals that she appears to have a penis.
Oh, well, basically I've got it right.
You basically got it right.
Yeah. Well, without the colour.
I would say that wasn't a whole point, but I would say that was probably... No, let's give that a point. I think we give that a point.
Three-quarter point?
No, I'd say give that a point.
Is that basically I've got it down.
Yep.
You know, I just haven't coloured in with
It was a different sexual act.
Right. Yeah.
But it was the same story.
Yeah, that's true. The same story. Yeah.
Okay, so the usage is, honey, there must be some mistake. I must have gotten it from a toilet seat. Or maybe that fucking Tokyo Surprise.
Ooh. Awesome.
I wonder which it was.
Leslie Nielsen would be proud.
Leslie Nielsen would be proud. Surely he'd be proud.
He wasn't quite that base, though, was he?
Ben. You just left that surely right there. You just left it sitting there on the ground.
Sorry, I'm not quick enough for that.
He would be surprised, but don't call me Shirley.
Don't call me Shirley, yeah.
So, Ben, do you like movies about gladiators?
is this your bank of Leslie Nielsen quotes you're pulling out on?
Yeah, it's not even from Leslie Nielsen. It's from Flying High, but it's not actually from his characters. Have you ever seen a grown man naked, Ben?
Yes.
Have you ever been in a cockpit of a plane, Ben?
Where's this going?
Oh, I'm just enjoying myself. You haven't prepared any quotes?
Just getting uncomfortable.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, so Leslie Nielsen, age 84, died of death.
Gomburger.
Heart attack or something? Pneumonia, that's right.
Why do we care?
Well, he's old.
Oh, come on, Naked Gun.
We care because he's famous.
The first one in the TV series.
We care because he was famous. That's all.
Isn't he a hero?
Did he do Hot Shots?
I don't know.
No, that was Charlie Sheen and someone else.
I thought he was in all of those movies.
O.J. Simpson. You would have thought. Let's not forget O.J. Simpson's storied comedy acting career.
Yes.
Crikey.
Mm.
All right, well, I think that's just about the end of the show there, Ben.
Yeah. Good length show. Back to better lengths now.
I think we're probably back to much better lengths, probably good 90-95 minutes.
Excellent.
Something like that.
That's how we'd like to hear it. I've enjoyed having studio guest Jose Barbosa.
It's been a pleasure being here. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
You'll have to cut out some of my stupid stories.
Definitely a good dude.
Mm.
And definitely a Media 7 reporter.
That's right.
The funniest part of Media 7, I'd say, for what is not a comedy show, like just like this isn't a comedy podcast.
This is way more of a comedy podcast.
You guys have been really deep, actually, this time. It's been quite interesting. I expected it to be wall-to-wall dick jokes or something. But actually, you guys have been into it.
We're variable.
Yeah. Evolution, we're variable. It's good.
Maybe it's because I'm so fucking tired. I just can't muster the energy.
You're the point of breaking down. Saying, look, guys.
So also, as well as Media 7, and do you do anything with BFM still? No?
No, I occasionally pop up to do some ads for them, for a laugh, but no.
Yeah.
I'm no longer affiliated with that institution.
You are also savaloy.wordpress.com.
Yes.
And we
missed
Highly Seasoned Milkshake Pork Sausage.
Bot. Where does your Twitter name come from, Milkshake Bot?
My partner and I decided one day to do a blog about milkshakes, so we'd rate milkshakes across the country.
Brilliant.
And it sort of came from that. We made three entries in the milkshake blog and then just forgot about it, really.
Okay.
I like the sound of that.
Should have a podcast.
Yeah, it's hard to make a good milkshake.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's very difficult.
You have kind of the standard Frosty Boy thick shake, which is great. It's kind of satisfying, but...
Is that really the standard?
A proper milkshake should be whipped a lot. Yeah, yes. And there shouldn't be all that much ice cream. It should be really frothy. The only really perfect milkshake I've ever had was in Pairoa. It was made by a 6-year-old lady who knew how to do it.
Mm.
Right.
I used to work in the cafe that is now Cafe Cezanne. Mm. It's like Dish Doggers, 11 years old. Probably illegal now. And as well as my $2 an hour or whatever I got, I finished each day by making myself a thick shake.
Yeah.
Which involved stuffing a cup with as much ice cream and syrup as I could get
in there.
And then
trying to get that.
And then filling the gaps with milk.
Mm.
And then... just about burning out the motors on the milkshake machine every day.
Yeah, they could steal milkshake machine. Oh, yeah.
Yep. And then I would walk home sucking furiously on this thing.
Trying to get it through the straw.
Trying to get some through. And of course, only once it started to melt was it even possible. But that's a happy memory. My favourite was Jaffa.
We had one of those home milkshake whiz things, but the problem was that they had a metal shaft with a plastic blade on it, and you'd rout it out in the space of about a week through trying to get through ice cream like you did.
I've got a metal one with a metal blade,
right,
and an aluminium cup.
Nice, that's what you want. It gets very cold. Can't cut the edges.
Yeah, don't use it very much, and I've never used it with ice cream. I use it with syrup, so it's like
you gotta be careful with the syrup.
So it's addictive.
If
you make one, now the thing's dirty, you've got to wash it anyway, you've got the cup, you've got the milk probably still on the bench, you're going to make another one, now you've had two, might as well have three.
Yeah.
Cut your losses, finish off the bottle.
Forget about making a milkshake, just straight into it. You do have to be careful, guys.
Make the syrup. Yeah.
If anyone's listening there and you think you've got a problem with milkshake syrup,
there's
a few numbers to call.
There is special helplines.
Or just fucking help yourself, don't complain to me.
Do you have any new projects to plug, Ben?
I don't, actually. No, it's been a quiet time while you've been away. Yep. Quiet time of recollection.
Anything new on your radar?
No. There's nothing new. No, nothing. It's all the same.
It's going to be a great show on Media 7 this week, though, I bet.
I think so. I think it's going to be fun.
Your audience is going to increase by at least one.
At least, I hope.
Well, I'll watch on the website.
Incremental, gradual.
My mum will watch. I'll get everyone on Twitter to watch. All of them. Even the internationals. I won't give them a choice.
So follow us on Twitter.
And check the site for the show notes.
Yes, show notes.
And if you have any feedback, then please send it by email, comments@discourse.co.nz, or comment on the podcast on the site that you want to refer to.
Send us your MP3s.
Send us MP3s. I mean, we keep asking for that. Let's be honest now. It's never gonna happen again. But I mean, it would be wonderful if you would.
Yes, it's really easy to do. On most modern laptops, you can record MP3s really quickly.
So. Oh, now here's one thing I'd like you to do. I would like you to tell a friend about the show.
That'd be nice.
That's what I want you to do.
Yes.
Because if we could get one of your mates to listen, then that would be two of you. That would be almost worth the time of putting together this beam of the show.
Doubling our listeners.
They've spent a lot of money on these microphones. So, come on. Come on, New Zealand. Come on, world.
Chip in.
Pull together.
We're
for
Kiwis
the discourse.
Giving it a go.
We're just Kiwi battlers.
We're like,
how else are we going to catch up with Australia if you don't listen to our podcast?
For free.
Yeah.
That we make no money out of. Oh, if you've got a company, say a New Zealand brewery, maybe you could sponsor the show. We will give you awesome rates. We haven't worked out what our rates would be.
No, we will.
Sandwiches.
We'd take payment in syrup. Sandwiches, milkshakes, syrup.
And beer.
Anything like that, yeah.
And cash.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the show.
Thank you.
Toodles.
You're listening to the weekly show on sorry. With course.
All right, we're using that one.